You may find it surprising to know that God often has a higher opinion of you than you may have of yourself. And here's Skip Heitzig to explain why.
God sees maybe not what you are today as much as what he can make you tomorrow. He knows that you're weak. And then he says, hey, you know what? You're a mighty man of valor. What? You got the wrong guy. No, go in this might of yours. You're the next deliverer. Me? I'm like Mr. Weak. I don't even trust God's miracles anymore. That's what you are now, but you're going to become a mighty man of valor. God sees what he can do with you.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
It is said that the true definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. If that really is what makes one insane, then what we're about to cover today in The Connection might be thought of as a time when Israel was truly insane. As Skip Heitzig points out today, the time of the judges was a period in Israel's history when they repeatedly forgot the Lord. They kept doing the same thing over and over again, and God kept sending one punishment after another. We'll get started with today's message here in just a moment. But first, we'd like to encourage you to get in touch with us today, especially if this is your first time to do so. All of our first-time contacts today will get a free teaching from our current series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, as our thanks for taking the time to get in touch with us. So give us a call and get that free bonus teaching today, 1-800-922-1888. Although the book of Judges does show Israel's unfaithfulness, it also demonstrates God's vast patience, forgiveness, and kindness. No matter how many times Israel turned away, God was always ready to help them and forgive them when they repented, something that's also true for us today.
And make the
open your Bibles to the book of Judges. Let's join Skip Heitzig as he continues our study in this fascinating time in Israel's history.
Israel, verse 6, was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now go down to verse 11. Let's meet our hero. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree that was in Ophrah. This is the town that Oprah Winfrey came from. No. That's false doctrine. I'd write that out. Which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, you don't maybe get it in the text, but this was sort of a joke. And here's why. People never threshed their wheat in a wine press. That's what you crush grapes in. Wine presses are at the bottom of all the hills. Wheat is always threshed on top of a hill where it's windy, breezy in the afternoon. So when you throw it up in the air, the wind catches the chaff and blows it away, and the wheat falls to the ground. But not this guy, because he's so scared, he's doing it in a wine press at the bottom of a hill with a stone wall enclosure. And so when an angel comes and says, "Hey, mighty man of valor," I think he went like this as he's holding his fork. He's looking around like, who's he talking to? Can't be me. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Do you think he was a man of faith at this point? No, not at all. He, like so many of us, "Well, if he's a God of love, how come he didn't do anything?
Everybody talks about how good God is. I don't think he's good.
Okay, now do you understand the humor? Hey, mighty man of valor. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So here's a picture of the next hero, not on top of the hill, but down by the bottom of the hill, threshing wheat. And you know what? Fear will always take you down like it took him down. But God calls him a man of valor. Here's what I think. Not only was this maybe a joke, I think it was really intended to make a statement that God sees what you and I don't see. God sees maybe not what you are today as much as what he can make you tomorrow. He knows that you're weak. And then he says, hey, you know what? You're a mighty man of valor. What? You got the wrong guy. No, go in this might of yours. You're the next deliverer. Me, I'm like Mr. Weak. I don't even trust God's miracles anymore. That's what you are now, but you're going to become a mighty man of valor. God sees what he can do with you. So none of this, I'm not worthy. Get over it. Nobody is. He makes you worthy. I'm no good. I'm not talented. Oh, be quiet. Get busy. And watch what God can do. That's God's track record. And he did it here with Gideon. Verse 36, so Gideon said to God, well, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I'll put a fleece of wool out on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece only, and it's dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. So it goes out there the next day, and the ground is dry, and that little piece of lamb's wool, that fleece, is so wet he could wring it out in a bowl of water. He thought, wow. Well, that's cool, but you know, maybe that's just some weird freak of nature. So he says, tell you what, God, let's do it again. This time, everything else will be wet, and I want that fleece dry. God didn't say, forget it. Gush, I'll get somebody else. Next. God does it. Verse 40, God did so that night. It was dry in the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Now, I think Christians misunderstand this story. And there's a common phrase that I have heard for years. I'm going to put out a fleece. In other words, I need God to show me a sign that he wants me to do something. And it's called putting out a fleece. Now, with Gideon, this was not a fleece for guidance. As we so often say, I'm going to put out a fleece for God to guide me. This was a fleece for confirmation. He had already seen a miracle in this story that we didn't cover. Fire coming out of a rock and completely consuming the meat that was on it. This is a confirmation. Second, Gideon didn't ask for a natural sign, but a totally supernatural sign. So we say, I'm putting out a fleece. And we say something very natural like, if the phone rings at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, then I know the Lord wants me to do such and such. Well, that's very natural. Phones often ring. This is very different. And what if the phone rings at 1:10 or 1:05? Does that count? Or is it 1 o'clock only? What if it's 1:01? You see, when we start doing that, it gets really weird. Now, this is the point I want to make. You, Christian, have an internal GPS system. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's living inside of you. He's not just around moving on special people like prophets in the Old Testament. Unique to New Testament believers, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is living in you. So here we are, so freaked out about the how in guidance, the where in guidance, instead of the who in guidance. But I don't know where, so. But I don't know what, so. You know whom you have living in you. You've got the Holy Spirit. Just move, walk, do normal stuff, and trust God. He'll guide you. You have an internal GPS system. But I need a fleece. Nah, you got the Holy Spirit. He's a lot better than a fleece. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early encamp beside the well of Harod. So the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people... Well, now stop right there. I've been in this place. In fact, a couple of years ago, some of you were with us in this place, and we were in the valley, and on one side was Mount Gilboa. There was this spring of Harod. And then we saw the hill of Moreh in our distance where the Midianites were. Gideon had 32,000 untrained men with no real weapons. The Midianites had 135,000 well-trained soldiers. He's scared right now, but he's there. Verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. Excuse me? I don't think I'm hearing God again. I need that fleece back. But notice this, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying my own hand has saved me. You know, sometimes bigger isn't better. Sometimes you have too many people in an army like this. You're not as mobile as you were with just a few infantrymen, really great, highly trained soldiers. Now, this already seemed impossible. 32,000 outgunned by 135,000. 4-1. And so this is a shock to Gideon when God says, you know what? There's too many. And he's thinking, yeah, there's a whole too many of them. He goes, no, there's too many of you for me. Now, if Spock from Star Trek would have been there, Or if this was James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise, and he said, you know, Spock, there's too many of us. We have 32,000, they have 135,000. There's too many of us. Spock would have said, illogical, Captain. This was completely illogical. But God said, there are too many, not for you. There's not enough for you. But there's too many for me. So God tests their faith. You know that a faith that is untested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Oh, we have faith in God when the cupboards are full and everything's good, our health is good. Oh, God's good. Hallelujah. I trust him. Big deal. What about when it all goes? A faith that is untested is a faith that cannot be trusted. So God tests their faith. Verse 3, now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Ouch. 22,000 leave. Now that was, again, another shock to Gideon. He's got 32,000. And so, just like in Deuteronomy 20, the officer goes up to the army and says, okay, any of you guys have fields that you haven't planted, go home. If you ever guys are engaged and you haven't gotten to marry your wife, go home. And if anybody here is afraid of war, get up and go now. And 22,000 said, okay. They were gone. But this is good. Because here's the deal. One timid soldier in a battle situation is worse than a whole bunch of enemy because it's contagious. Fear is contagious. It's better that 22,000 leave now than in the middle of the battle, 22,000 leave on the battlefield. So they're gone. There's 10,000 left. Verse 4, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. I will test them for you there. It will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. The same will go with you. Whoever I say to you, this one shall not go. The same will not go. Now he's at this point going, oh great, God just wants me to die. He's leading me to slaughter. No, he's leading you to victory. God will sometimes stack the odds against you. So it's not hard. It's impossible. Unless God shows up, I'm sunk. It's a good place to be in. Elijah on Mount Carmel told the people, so it would be unmistakable, as his sacrifice was laid out on a rock, he said, you know, go get water and pour the water all over this altar and the sacrifice. They did it. Do it again, he said. Do it again. So it's dripping with water. So that when fire came down from heaven and consumed it, it was unmistakably God. The odds were stacked against him. God will often stack the odds against your David against Goliath. This little kid with a few pebbles and this well-trained nine-footer in battle. So it was unmistakably the Lord. Now, I've watched people in church for a long time, churches, the church in general, doing projects. And I often hear this, "Oh, Pastor, we need more people." Maybe not. Maybe then more people, you just need a few good ones. Because a few good ones will go a long way than a whole bunch whose hearts really aren't in it. Sometimes you don't need a whole bunch more. You just need a few called and inspired and energized by the Lord. Verse 5, so he brought the people down to the water. The Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue like a dog laps, you shall set apart for himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But the rest of all the people got down on their knees to drink the water. The Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." So this is a test of urgency. The position of the man in battle will tell a lot about the man. Here's the deal. Some people got down on all fours like this. Here's the spring, and they drank like this. Others got down on their knees and took the water up like this and just lapped it like a dog would lap with his tongue, but in a vigilant position, looking at the landscape. 300 did that. They were ready. God looked at them and said, "That's all I need." Just those few people who live vigilantly, they're ready. Those are the ones I'm going to use for this battle. They go out to battle with some candles and some pots. And they bang the pots and they light the candles, and it's enough that God uses it to scare the enemy, and they're running around in circles and they kill each other. And pretty cool. Okay. Now, humanly, strategically, you look at 300 men against 135,000 soldiers, and what do you say? You say, "Those poor 300, they're doomed." But if you stack the 135,000 against God, who created them and everybody else, you think, "Those poor 135,000 Midianites, they're dead." A lot depends on how you choose to view life. Chapter 8, verse 28, "Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so they lifted up their heads no more. The country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon." Chapter 9 and 10 are easy to sum up. Gideon's son, named Abimelech, decides, "I'm going to become the next guy, the next judge, the next leader." He wasn't called by God. He was an opportunist. He was ambitious, had a lust for power, and he murders his brothers all on one stone, kills them all, and assumes power. And he's about to reap what he has sown. Verse 5, chapter 9. "He went to his father's house at Oprah Winfrey and killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Jerubbaal, on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal," that is Gideon, "was left because he hid himself." Verse 51. "There was a strong tower in the city." Now here's the deal. For 3 years, Abimelech reigned. The Shechemites revolted against him. There was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and the women, all the people of the city fled there and shut themselves in, and they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it. He drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone. Now this baby weighs about 20 to 35 pounds, about 12 inches in diameter. Dropped the upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. And then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and listened to this, and said, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, 'A woman killed me.'" You know, a guy is always a guy. Even at death. "I've got my pride. Kill me. I don't want to say a chick did it." So his young man thrust him through and he died. Now here's what's interesting. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Jesus said, whatever measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He killed 70 kids on a stone. A stone fell on his head. Perfect. Poetic. Chapter 10, two more judges. We won't read about them. They're just briefly described. Tola reigns for 23 years. Jair or Yair reigns for 22 years. And what happens is Israel does it again. They sin against God. And now the Philistines enter the land and take over. And next time we'll pick up from the Philistines onward in this 350-year blight of the children of Israel. Now, as you close your Bible and as the band comes to get ready to play, history can repeat itself. British historian Arnold Toynbee looked at 22 civilizations throughout history, and he noted that 19 of the 22 nations collapsed when they reached the moral or immoral status of the present United States of America. He just said, there's something interesting when people lose their bearings, lose their morals, become, as we have become, so postmodern that we do what's right in our own eyes, that we become, he said, ready for the collapse of our nation. So, the children of Israel were one nation under God. And then they left the God that they were once under. And they became under God's judgment because of that. So, we're all Americans. We should all pray for our nation. We have a chance to get involved in the elections and to vote. And we could say, oh, I'm apathetic, I don't care, I'm not going to vote for anybody, they're all bad, forget it. Or we can get involved and especially pray and be active. Be an active Christian. Let the light shine. You know what? Every homosexual in the world is coming out of the closet. Every terrorist in the world is showing their colors. I think it's time for Christians to come out of the closet and show our colors and be bold. I don't think we have anything to be afraid of. I'm not asking you to blow yourselves up. I'm asking you to love the world up. I'm asking you to blow people up with love. Share the gospel. Let your light so shine among men that they see the difference.
One of the repeated phrases God uses in the Bible is be strong and courageous. You know, God is still encouraging us today with those same words. Our world needs help, and it's going to take strong and courageous people to provide that help. You may not feel bold and brave, but remember, you aren't going out alone. The Lord is always with you. So be strong and courageous, and who knows, you may accomplish far more than you've ever imagined for the kingdom of God. That's going to wrap up our time for today. But before we leave you, here's a way for you to help expand God's kingdom in nations all over the world.
Paris, the city of lights, the city of love, but a city that needs to hear about real love, the agape love of God. Paris may have a reputation of being a city for its many streets, canals, and bridges, and romantic ambiance, but only the love of Christ will satisfy our desire for true love. Help us share this good news in the streets of Paris and around the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Join today for just $25 a month. And when you do, not only will you help us share the truth about love with people all over the world, you'll also receive a free resource each month. This month, you'll receive a teaching from Michael Dente from Calvary Chapel, Paris.
In a city so known, therefore, for its immorality, its intellectualism, and its riches, it would appear that Paul only saw one solution to cure their spiritual ills, and that was to know Christ, to know Jesus Christ, and to know Him crucified.
When people think romance, they often think of Paris. But in order to truly experience love, what we need is not a trip to a city of romance, but a trip to the cross. Help us share the good news of God's love in Paris and around the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Call today, 1-800-922-1888, or visit connectionradio.org.
And here's another reason to contact us at The Connection. If you'd like a copy of today's teaching from Skip, we'd be happy to send you one for just $6, which includes shipping. All you need to do is call us at 1-800-922-1888. 1888, or visit us online at connectionradio.org. Or if you prefer, you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Make the connection.
Next time, Skip Heitzig will take us through the second half of the Book of Judges, so I hope you'll find the time to join us on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.